Offside.
Zahodni trgovinski dogovor. Ameriški predsednik Donald Trump in predsednica Evropske komisije Ursula von der Leyen sta v nedeljo na Trumpovem luksuznem golf letovišču na Škotskem dosegla začasni trgovinski dogovor med Združenimi državami in Evropsko unijo. Dogovor uvaja 15-odstotne carine na večino evropskih dobrin, uvoženih v ZDA. V zameno bo večina ameriških dobrin uživala ugodnosti ničelne carine. Po navedbah Evropske komisije je trgovanje z blagom in storitvami med ZDA in Unijo v letu 2024 preseglo 1,6 bilijona evrov. Ameriška vlada je dogovor sprejela z izvršnim odlokom, ki bo začel veljati v začetku meseca, medtem ko dogovor za EU še ni pravno obvezujoč, saj ga morajo še dopolniti in sprejeti vse države članice. Splošni okvir začasnega trgovinskega dogovora predstavi Matthias Goldman, profesor finančnega prava na Goethejevi univerzi v Frankfurtu.
So it introduces in the most important part a 15% tariff rate on about 70% of all EU products that are imported to the US from the EU. That is lower than, you know, the kind of menacing rates announced by President Trump previously, which at some time had reached 50%, not 15, so 50. And later on, he reduced that to 30%, also because he saw that this would these excessively high tariffs would have a negative effect on the economy of the United States. So that's what we know, the 15% tariff, flat rate, so to say, on most EU products. There are some important exceptions. There is some bickering about how far they really go, because so far we only have sort of an oral compromise. We don't really have a written agreement, and we've got differing statements from the US government and the EU government. So they were discussing certain exceptions for pharmaceuticals. Certain pharmaceuticals where the US has a vital interest in not imposing too high tariffs, and also for military equipment and a couple of other security related things. And there's also the issue with steel. So steel products from the EU had been imposed a quota, sorry, had been granted a quota by the US previously. And anything above that quota had to pay quite high tariffs. And now the question is whether they're going to reinstate that quota. It seems that that will be running as it ran before.
Čeprav je von der Leyen z dogovorom zadovoljna, saj je Evropska unija z njim ubežala grožnjam uvedbe 30-odstotne carine, ostajajo mnoge podrobnosti dogovora še neznane. Največ polemik se pojavlja glede dogovora o energiji, farmacevtskih izdelkih, vojaški opremi in jeklu ter aluminiju. Dogovor namreč predvideva, da bodo evropske države v naslednjih 3 letih, torej do izteka Trumpovega mandata, opravile nakupe ameriškega utekočinjenega zemeljskega plina, nafte in jedrskih goriv v vrednosti 650 milijard evrov. Prav tako se je Evropska komisija zavezala, da bodo evropska podjetja investirala v ZDA v skupni vrednosti 500 milijard evrov. Antonija Cimerman, novinarka Politika, ki se ukvarja predvsem s trgovinsko politiko, evropsko zavezo k kupovanju ameriške energije opisuje bolj kot taktično potezo in ne kot dolžnost, ki jo bo zares izpolnila.
So the commitments on energy and investment, I think, are mostly seen as quite lofty, in that the EU itself cannot commit to investing in energy commitments specifically, because at the end of the day, that's down to companies, right? So, and, like, the only thing the European Commission can do is talk to different companies, incentivize them to make certain purchases, make certain investments, but at the end of the day, this is more of a pledge than a real commitment. The commission says that, you know, these figures come out of clear calculations based on the EU's needs, based on what's realistic. But at the end of the day, in my eyes, this is really a measure to also appease Trump without actually giving in too much, because who knows how much these investments and pledges can be measured. But at the end of the day, the commission itself doesn't have the power to, you know, just go invest in the US or purchase energy. So it's part of, I think, of a negotiation tactic, and it might have worked on Sunday, or I assume it's part of what has worked, but I wouldn't overestimate these parts of the agreement.
ZDA in EU sicer predstavljata dva različna narativa glede carin na farmacevtske izdelke in vojaško opremo. Več podrobnosti predstavi sogovornica.
Pharmaceuticals, there are clearly some details that need to be ironed out. This was a big point of contention in the talks, especially because Trump has also threatened to impose tariffs of up to 200% on pharmaceutical imports. And so it was, the EU was very keen, as a big exporter to the US, was very keen to see some kind of commitment from the US that they would not be imposing tariffs that high on pharma. Now, when you look at what the European Commission says, it basically argues that pharma will not face any tariff for now. And then once Donald Trump has concluded his investigation into the sector, pharma could face up to 15%. The US, however, says that pharmaceuticals will face tariffs of 15% from August 1st. Then the White House says that the EU has committed to purchasing more military equipment from the US. Now, that's something that the European Commission denies. So there we have a very clear disagreement. But again, I think it's important to remember that the US saying that this is something the EU has agreed to just means that the US wants us to be on the table still. It's basically a reminder to the EU to say, we still want you to do this. But it's not necessarily something that was agreed at some point in time, and now the EU is just saying is off the table, right? These are just two different narratives of where negotiations stand.
Interes tako ameriške kot evropske strani je ustvarjanje tako imenovanega zavezništva na področju kovin. Po besedah evropskega komisarja za trgovino Maroša Šefčoviča bi z zavezništvom omejili globalni presežek jeklarske industrije na ameriškem in evropskem trgu, na katero naj bi najbolj vplivale politike na Kitajskem. Kitajske oblasti namreč domačim jeklarskim podjetjem zagotavljajo subvencije, davčne olajšave in posojila po obrestnih merah, ki so nižje od tržnih. Čeprav podrobnosti še niso znane, je pričakovana ponovna uvedba carinskih kvot, kar bi pomenilo uvažanje jekla in aluminija v določeni vrednosti ali količini po znižani carinski stopnji. Zimmermann opiše trenutno stanje pogajanj.
And on steel and aluminium, there's also some disagreements. So right now steel and aluminium face tariffs of 50%, and what the EU and the US have done is that they've agreed to create what, you know, Brussels is called a metals alliance, which would basically allow them to trade steel and aluminium within a tariff rate quota system. And the US says that steel and aluminium will continue to face a 50% tariff, whereas the EU says there will be that 50% tariff, but only on any steel and aluminium that exceeds the quota that we agree on. But that, you know, that those quotas have not been specified. So there's also a lot of work that still needs to be done on that. And I've also heard that this might not be specified in the joint statement, yes.
Nedeljski dogovor lahko razumemo torej kot konkreten začetek pogajanj, ne pa kot končni in pravno zavezujoči dogovor. Zimmermann predstavi možne razloge za sprejem pomankljivega sporazuma.
So the fact that there's still a lot of details that need to be finalized is kind of part of, in my view, the strategy of Donald Trump. So when he approaches these negotiations, what he likes to do is get something agreed, and then the real negotiations start. So what we have right now is really a very, very provisional, basic agreement between the two sides. And there are many points that are still open. For example, when you look at the fact sheets that both the White House and the European Commission have published over the last couple of days, they don't add up. I think what's important to remember here is that the EU really wanted to get an agreement so that the 30% tariffs that Trump had threatened wouldn't kick in. Trump also wanted to agree to something so that there's a basis for negotiation. And now you see both sides having quite different interpretations of what was agreed, also because it was just agreed verbally. And they're now still in a negotiation phase, right? So the reason why both sides are saying different things is because they're still pushing their respective agendas. And right now, what the two sides are working on is a joint statement. Initially, the goal was for this joint statement to be finished by August 1st, so by this Friday, but that's not super clear yet. I think there's quite a bit of relief that there's something on the table from both sides. But this joint statement will also just be provisional. It will clarify some of the details, but it will also not be legally binding.
Pogajanja glede uvedbe carin na evropske dobrine traja že od aprila, ko je Trump prvič uvedel recipročne 10-odstotne carine na ves uvoz v Združene države. Poleg tega je dodatno pritiskal na Unijo z napovedjo uvedbe posebnih carin za izbrane dobrine, kot so zdravila, polprevodniki in letala. Prejšnji četrtek so vse države članice, z izjemo Madžarske, odobrile predlog Evropske komisije o recipročnih carinah na določene ameriške dobrine, kot so letala, avtomobili, vino, medicinska in električna oprema v skupni vrednosti 93 milijard evrov. Carine bi stopile v veljavo 7. avgusta. Zimmermann predstavlja prihodnje načrte Unije glede doseženih protiukrepov.
Brussels has drafted lists of countermeasures initially in two parts, and then last week they decided to merge the two lists into one. So the list of countermeasures that the EU currently has at its disposal would target 93 billion euros in US goods, and those are goods from, you know, aircraft to cars, soybeans, Kentucky bourbon, essentially, you know, products that are important to the US in terms of exports. And initially, those countermeasures were meant to take effect from August 7. So they were meant to be timed just a couple of days after Trump's deadline to impose his own tariffs of 30% on August 1st. Now, from what we've heard, the Commission is planning to delay the imposition of its countermeasures against Trump by about 6 months. That's likely to happen next week. So basically, they're going to keep these measures just in case they need them, because basically they've been signed off by member countries, so they could be activated very quickly. And so they'll keep them, and also, you know, it gives them a tool to just see how negotiations go. Now moving forward, everything is still very shaky.
Omenjeni protiukrepi in trenutni dogovor stvari puščajo nedorečene, vendar bo zlasti sporazum med blokoma vplival na ameriško prebivalstvo. Kako? Pojasni Goldman.
So I think much of what we observe right now is really about impressing the US audience on the side of Trump rather than about making a deal with the EU. So Trump apparently wants to appear as someone who puts American interest first and gets incredible deals for America and boost his popularity. Also because, you know, tariffs do have a negative impact on the population. I mean, tariffs make many products more expensive. Even tariffs on steel, I mean, they make all the products that you make from that steel more expensive, and that will hit US consumers. And inflation is really a thing, especially for the poorer parts of the population who still voted for Trump because they thought that the inflation was the fault of Joe Biden. So he has a problem here. He needs to look popular. At the same time, there are many things that clearly cannot be part of that deal. For example, commitments that the EU will do certain investments in the United States, commitments that the EU will purchase energy, commitments that the EU will purchase certain military equipment, because in each and every case, that is not for the EU and not for the EU Commission to decide, but for the member state in case of military products or for private investors. It's private investors that make investments in the United States. It's not the EU. It's not the member states. So much of that deal really shows how much this is about window dressing and selling a economically doubtful policy to an American audience that will be hit by it.
Dogovor med tem ne zajema področji, ki bi znatno vplivala na življenje v Evropski uniji, več pojasni sogovornik.
I don't think that EU citizens are affected that much by it. So there is also some discrepancy in the statements concerning regulation. So one thing is that the US wants the EU to withdraw some of its regulation. For example, concerning the digital markets, that reaches from, you know, data protection to rules for the platform economy to digital taxes or taxes related to digital trade, etc., which mostly targets U.S. companies, and they don't like it, of course. And it was, so what I take from the Commission is that they haven't ceded even a centimeter in that regard. So I think we don't really have to expect anything here. I also don't expect the EU to water down its rules on, let's say, additives to foodstuffs. I mean, this recalls the long-standing disputes about hormone beef and chlorine chicken, etc. I don't think that anything of this is part of the deal. And so in that regard, I think it won't affect European consumers so much. I mean, the US market in goods is not so important for European consumers. Services are much more important, and I think a lot of things will stay the same here in that regard.
Dogovor je pri voditeljih držav članic Evropske unije naletel na deljena mnenja. Nemški kancler Friedrich Merz sporazum podpira predvsem zaradi uspeha Unije, ki se je izognila uvedbi 30-odstotnih carin. Te bi prizadele predvsem nemško avtomobilsko industrijo. Italijanska premierka Giorgia Meloni prav tako pozdravlja dogovor, čež da se je Zahod ognil večji trgovinski vojni. Nasprotno je do dogovora oster francoski premier François Bayrou, ki Unijo obtožuje podreditve ameriškim zahtevam. Več o kritikah pove sogovornik.
It's also very interesting what you say is that countries like France criticize the deal. Now, France, if you compare, for example, France to, let's say, Germany, France is much less dependent on exports to the United States than is Germany. So for Germany, it was very important to strike a deal that is not, let's say, catastrophic for the German economy. And I think that to some extent they have achieved. However, this only saves the day. It leads to a loss in competitiveness of European producers in the United States. So in the long term, it might not even be a viable strategy. And it just also means that the European Union or certain member states in particular of the European Union don't get rid of their dependence on foreign markets, especially on the US market. And that means that we still can be blackmailed by Trump in the future. I mean, he could repeat the same thing at any time and just say, you know, what do I care about the bill we conclude, the deal we concluded last year? So this dependence continues, and what France and especially President Macron has always emphasized recently in many, many respects is that the EU really needs to be more autonomous, whether it's about security or whether it's about trade. And we're not getting autonomy from that deal. It just allows us to drag on. I think that's a very important criticism from a EU autonomy perspective, so to say. With Hungary, I think it's a bit more complicated, because with Hungary, you're not so sure to what extent they're still in the same boat as the rest of the member states, and whether they're not in one boat with President Trump.
Evropska unija se je pričakovano podredila Trumpovim muham v vsesplošni trgovinski vojni, ki jo je začel v svojem drugem mandatu. Offside je pripravila Ayla.